that has big time camp. What the movie will be the ultimate champ. You might be finger crazy, my finger diseased, but do you watch another chance to find the best of this?
We rate each movie in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
It's Stan, Gene, Jack and Nick who watch it till it's finished, because the love for this movie can be diminished. And make the film's plot has no rhyme or reason, but that's a part of charm.
Colin Brad is off the season.
It's low budget film that is most true. They find a flick that monster boogaloo.
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Space, Final Frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Boogaloo! Welcome back, my friends. I am happy to be here on the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. We are preparing to talk about Flesh Gordon. Oh, so wonderful, so Boogaloo. This is the reason that we do the show, is so that we can get more Boogaloo for you. All right, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. Or you can call me your assholiness. I am joined today by your protuberance. That is Jim Cotta.
Flesh.
I'm not sure it works out quite as well. next up, we have your lowness, Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. And I think I speak for all of us when I say jerk offs, let's get Ming.
And then finally...
Wang. You meant Wang.
I meant Wang, yes.
Finally, we have...
Better when you get it right.
Yeah, it is.
Dildo Jack Hall.
Sup, pervs. I'm sending you guys right now something on our WhatsApp, and I would like you guys right now just to take a look at it. Something that I believe you'll all appreciate. And I know it's not, you know, maybe you'll put it in the write up there, Jim. Maybe you won't.
That's amazing.
It's a Flesh Gordon penis pistol.
It's everything. It's penis, balls, and a breast in there.
Yeah, it's got everything in there. It's amazing that this movie is famous enough, Flesh Gordon, that it has it has all sorts of cult related items like that.
Oh, wait a minute. This is real? I thought it was fan art.
No, this is the real thing. Flesh Gordon, we're in for a ride, gentlemen. Let's get to it.
All right. Well, Nick, tell us all about Flesh Gordon.
Well, this movie tracks remarkably similar to our last film, Flash Gordon, but it was filmed before, so I can't claim any copyright claims, except the Earth is being attacked by a sex ray. So, Flesh Gordon, sorry, that's going to be a consistent thing.
Yeah, well, that'll happen more than once. Yeah.
Yeah. And his band of intrepid defenders of the Earth go to a planet, and I'd like to say they have a lot of sex, but our main cast doesn't really have a lot of sex. I mean, there is a threesome on the way there due to some sort of sex ray that hits as they hit. What is the planet called? Does anyone remember?
Porno.
How did you forget that? It might be too on the nose to be memorable, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem. And, once immediately there, they run into a penisaurus and, get beaten up pretty bad and immediately captured by the dildos, which are Wang soldiers, which Wang is, of course, analog for Ming. And we are greeted into the courtroom where everyone's having sex. And the most disgusting version of Ming possible is sitting on the throne. The rest of the movie plays out like you'd expect for a Flash Gordon parody. There aren't too many surprises. The one question I had throughout this entire film is, who is this really for? The sex scenes aren't filmed well enough to be erotic in any way. And the there's a ton of stop motion in this. That is excellent.
This would have been the era with this has been kind of Grindhouse though. Like I imagine that would have been the target for this. Just as a guess, I don't know. Like just given the era of it, because it's softcore parody, which is a narrow band for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was filmed in 71 and distributed in 74, right? And those guys who did the film, who produced it, they had some, I guess, success with similar sexploitation type films. I think it's, hold on, it's Howard Zinn and Bill Osco. So they had done, Mona the Virgin Nymph. You know, so they had huge success, and I don't know, but I mean, yeah, I mean, they were worried about being sued from Universal. Universal was planning to sue them. That's why that odd parody is at the beginning. So
I actually found that I knew why it was there so they don't get sued, but I actually found it kind of touching that you know they went back in the history as superheroes to sort of explain that this is indeed a parody, and it's a really long and well thought out argument.
It is. I'm gonna start into the weirdness though. it starts with this opening crawl explaining the historical context of such characters, and you know, building morale, making satire. So it says from 1929 to 1933, the Depression was on. The public needed heroes. So during that time, Flash Gordon, Captain Marvel, Buck Rogers, Superman, and many others were created. None of those characters were created during that period. Buck Rogers preceded it, and all of the rest came after it. So, I mean, kudos for trying to create historical context for it, but...
I guess I should have fact-checked and not...
In fairness, they should have.
Yes.
this isn't on you, I assume.
but it's possible.
It is possible.
Personally, I love this movie. Like, it's one of those cases where they absolutely could have removed the softcore element, and I would have still been very happy watching the movie. Because, as you say, Nick, most of the softcore nudity in there is actually not terribly well shot. And, I mean, for what it is, because it's softcore.
Oh, and to be fair, there is no fan edit of this that could take out the nudity.
Yeah, no, of course
it's
not.
It's in every shot.
Yeah, try to imagine this during the Blockbuster era where, you know, there's like a 58-minute version of it. That still almost has the story. There was a few of those, like it kind of in the late 90s, early 2000s, where they'd make a movie like this, but it would be set up that there'd be just enough of the story left that they could cut all of the sex scenes out and still be able to release it at video stores.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, as a softcore, I would view it as a failure. As a parody, I actually view it as a total success myself.
I think that's, as Nick said, the amazing thing is that this, I was a half an hour in before I thought to look that it's not after the Flash Gordon, the De Laurentiis Flash Gordon that we talked about last episode. So it is like that film lifted from this. Is what it feels like, because there's so many incredibly similar things. But I guess it's because they're both bringing... Go ahead.
They both lifted from the serial.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And you know, Blockbuster would just throw a 17 sticker on this or whatever, so we'd be fine. Good to go. But that's the thing about this movie, is it wasn't what I expected. Like, honestly, I thought it was funnier than I really expected. especially in the first parts. And from my understanding of the film, if you have seen the original serials, which I have not, but if you have, this film's much funnier because it's actually apparently really dead on as far as, you know, a sequence of events and parodying it. So, I mean, it's kind of remarkable. Like, it's not, yes, it's definitely not, you know, as sexy as you'd, it's like, hey, here's a funny movie. Plus every now and then you're going to see a naked woman.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say a hot naked woman because that happens rarely, but you're going to see a naked woman.
And you're going to see
just, naked men.
Just nudity. You're going to see a lot of nudity.
See a lot of, yeah.
Dale more often naked than clothed.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I wrote down in my notes that at one point Dale just gave up on clothing. They're on the ship.
And
they have
it's early in the film.
Yeah, they have the sex ray. So her clothes come off when they have the sex ray and the threesome. And then she gets up and she just doesn't put on clothes until after the ship lands. Like, it's about 5 minutes of the movie. She's just like decided clothing is out.
Well, and it's like she would have had some clothes, but thankfully Jerkov had a dress sitting there in his ship. Which
he had a lot of stuff by coincidence in his ship that people could wear.
When he gives her that dress, that is the funniest line I have heard on any show on any episode we've done so far. Any
that
movie
right
we've done
there,
so far.
I had to explain that.
Oh my god! I just killed myself.
Best thing for sure. Yes.
What was the line again?
So Jerkov finds a dress to give Dale because her clothing has been destroyed after the sex ray. And so he gives her this nice dress and he says, it was my mother's. She was buried in it.
Oh. That to me,
I'd pause the movie.
It was such a throwaway moment in the movie. But at the same time, it totally told me exactly what the movie was going to be like. And I'll tell you right now, I've already told people about that line. So I know that that line is going to stick with me forever.
See, for me, the throwaway line from Jerkoff that had me laughing the hardest was when they stepped off the ship. He takes a deep breath and goes, good, there's oxygen on the planet. I thought, yeah, that's how you want to find out.
I ran some tests.
Yeah. In my scientific method.
Yes.
All right, not dead. Sweet. Must be oxygen.
We're good to go, guys. Come on out.
There are so many like just subtle bits in this, like the humor. I mean, as well as like the incredibly broad stuff. Like there's sight gags. There's lots of little bits. Jerkoff starts up his ship with keys that have a VW tag on them.
That's right.
What the hell is Flash wearing? Or Flesh? Wearing through the first half of this movie, it's like riding pants or something.
Oh,
like,
yeah, riding pants with the big
flare out and the
flare-outs on the sides. Yeah, oh man, and it's just so I don't know. Maybe that's something in the serial.
It must be from the serial. Yeah,
yeah, it is definitely from the serial. I mean, it's not quite anywhere near as silly as the costume he wears through the second half of the costume.
Oh yeah, oh for sure, but. Because, I mean, and again, that costume that he has in the second half, I believe that's from Jerkov's collection as well. So, because I'm pretty sure at that moment, like, Flesh is naked, and it's just like, oh, hold on, I have just the thing for
you. No, he was dressed in drag, and he felt silly.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because he just got the power pasties.
Yes, they got the power pasties.
God, I love the power pasties.
Jerkov got to wear the power pasties, and Flesh got to wear the.
Oh God, I was going to ask when we capture Ming after the wedding, and Jerkov lifts up his shirt. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I thought they were going to rape him or something. And that was one of the questions I had, but I forgot he was wearing the power pasties.
That's right. And I mean, there is, you know, thankfully we have the rapist robots later on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wrote down rapist robots. What is that? What they were called?
Yeah, that is
That's
what they
were called.
Called.
They're actually called.
They're
that.
Great.
The rapist robot. I bet you those also have a toy or something like that out there.
And then we have a wonderful stop motion monster at the end who grabs Dale, takes her up to the top of the tower. Again, reaffirming that human women are hot for every species.
Yep. Oh, and I loved that that monster. I love the fact that it just constantly chatted to itself and to Dale. And I loved the fact that it had to climb the building and it became a total King Kong thing. Like, just well, the fact, I don't appreciate you doing this.
Well, I thought Ming was inhabiting the monster during that point.
Wang? Come on, man! Wang! Well, no, I don't think so.
It wasn't. No, that was just the porno monster is the porno god. had come out. Or they called him. I can't even pronounce. I'm not going to try and pronounce it. But the special effects crew had nicknamed him Harryhausen's name backwards. That's what they called him. But yeah, it was the porno god. You mentioned his talking. That wasn't planned. It was when they got the footage after, because originally the footage, lots of trivia, obviously, again, but not as much as last time, but still plenty. But the footage was held hostage for the special effects crew, because a lot of really good special effects people worked on this film. People would go on to be famous, including, you know, the guy who started, Dennis Mirren, started Industrial Light and Magic, and, you know. So, I mean, it had all this pedigree behind it, and they had to hold back the footage, 8,000 feet of footage to the filmmakers because they weren't getting paid. So they had to get that. And once they finally got it in there, the filmmakers decided he looked so good and his mouth is moving all the time, let's dub in some dialogue. So that's how they managed to do that. Now, do you guys recognize the voice of the person doing the dialogue?
No.
No? Oh. He has a very, very famous other role where he's doing voiceover. In fact, last year, one of the biggest hit movies of the year, he did so. It's as Mr. Incredible. It's Craig T. Nelson.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I had my fingers crossed for James Earl Jones. But
it is uncredited Craig T. Nelson. And I do think, looking at that, a lot of that dialogue feels to me improvised.
Oh, he'd
have to
yeah.
be like 10 years old when he did that, wouldn't he?
That's a great question. I wonder how old he is.
Oh wow, Craig T. Nelson's way older than I thought he was.
Oh yeah, no,
he was close to 30 when he did this.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's not a surprise to me when you look at Craig T. Nelson and you go, you know, that guy was in 70s porn. It just sort of makes sense.
Uncredited as the voice only. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. A great question. Like, how do you get to be the guy who's the uncredited voice? Are you just, like, hanging out on set because, yeah? Or was there, like, a reason for you to be there?
Maybe he was. There was a lot of people on set. Like I say, we talk about the science fiction community was excited by this. You know, I talk about the special effects people, but there's also a lot of writers and people who are like, now they would be bloggers, but back then they would write for, like, you know, magazines and different things for science fiction fans who volunteered to help out making this movie, because I don't know that they knew that the porn was in there.
Well, when I looked at the credits afterwards, I saw Bijo Trimble's name in there, and she is super important to Star Trek and the Star Trek mythos. So that was like one of those, oh wow, look at that, you know. And of course, Rick Baker in there. That's, I mean, you know, not that he's ever done anything good, but
yeah, exactly. Like it's really pretty damn remarkable.
Yeah, it's actually very similar to Flash Gordon in its own way. Because, you know, Flash had all these people that you could say worked on it. But in this case, it's just like, wow, the budget on this is nowhere near that of Flash Gordon. That's for sure.
It was made for about, I think it was 490. I'm going to double check that. It might even have been less. $470 million. And the box office drew in 9. You or 470,000. Yeah,
like 470 million. It's 470 the most expensive million. Movie and ever.
It drew in 906,000, which sounds like a poor thing. But if you remember that the top movie of the year in 1974 was Blazing Saddles at 119 million, that's really not. It might be top 50. like, it was not a big year. I mean, Sugarland Express had like 11 million and it was like a top 10 film of the year. and that's the other thing. There was even talk that this film, that, believe it or not, that this film would be up for an Oscar for best special effects. But in 1974, there were so, because there was, it was such a light field, no special effects Academy Award was given out because there were so few movies with special effects. But for that reason, at some point when they were looking for any film that could film fit in the special effects category, this film was actually considered. It's pretty, like I say, it's not at all what I thought it was.
No, I mean, those special effects could have been in just about any movie of the period, and they weren't bad. They were good.
Oh, no. Oh, for sure. Like, I mean, when I looked at that, I'm like, wow, this is much, much better than I expected. Because, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, in fact, I'm kind of surprised none of them were ripped off for other movies. I haven't seen any of those monsters before.
It'd be tough to use the Pinosauruses again.
They're kind of unique.
Yeah, but they did have huge eyes. I think you could sort of...
And that was the second model. The original model they were using, the Pinosauruses, they scrapped because they were so realistic. The crew was having trouble finding it disturbing to use them.
Now, did you take it as they raped Dale? Because Dale fell down and...
Dude, this is my big problem with the film. Who didn't rape Dale?
She got raped by Pinosauruses, or poked at least. And then the Amazons raped her for sure. Yeah, she was there.
Yeah, I mean, Flesh and Jerkoff were also under the influence. So, I mean, that there's no one's consenting in that scene. So that's different. It's problematic, but in a different way. But the Amazons is, that's
the robots. I actually counted five different times. Five times that she was engaged or that she was sexually assaulted in this movie. As I go back, that's the one thing about this film that's hurting it for me.
But I mean, this is an X-rated parody in 1971, basically. I mean, those kind of...
Yes, it is, but I mean, like I say, I don't mind if the bad guy, like the first time it's like, well, that's the bad guy and he's doing it and it's an X-rated parody or whatever. But then at some point, like I say, it's everybody. Even people that don't seem like they're going to be bad guys do it to her. Like everybody. It's just a bit much.
I mean, I feel like that was so common of porn of that day, you know, and that era where it's just like, oh, you're not a lesbian. Well, hold on, you are now.
And I do realize that Suzanne Fields, who played that, was a hardcore pornographic actress. So certainly she had been in far more graphic things than this. You know, her first Pinosaurus, I think, was John Holmes. But
and you would have to be a hardcore actress to be willing to be naked for the amount of time that she was naked.
That's for sure. Yeah, no, it's like everybody, like that's the one thing about this film. It's like there'd be nice if she was, I'd say, sexually assaulted four times, but on the fifth she went, I'm into this one. That'd be different. Maybe I could look aside. But when it's five for five, it's a little tough to...
Ah, but at least she had flesh. Flesh never changed his mind about her.
Oh, flesh never did. Man, that the outfit Flesh has on in the second half, I did not realize until I was watching this movie that was where they got the outfit for Orgasmo from.
Oh, that's awesome. I never connected that.
Yeah.
It's a little trivia.
Movie. Hopefully someday we can find a way to do that movie.
A little trivia on Suzanne Fields. If we ever get our full 3D season together, one of her first roles was uncredited in The Stewardesses.
Yes. Oh, wow. That is freaking hilarious. There's I love the moment where Prince Precious comes in and helps them out. Like, I'm like, wow, Robin Hood is in this. That's awesome. And then he becomes Prince Precious. But at the end, he saves Flesh's life. And it's just like, well, anything I can do for you. And then the next thing, you know.
How can I repay you?
And the next thing, you know, it's just like, it's holy, it's gay sex.
Well, and again, that's another thing. This movie did have hardcore gay and straight sex in it. And but it was illegal to film pornography. It was pandering at the time in Los Angeles. There was a police raid. That stuff was pulled. And even then, they still had to have an edit done. So all they had left was the footage they had. And then they had to have an edit down to 78 minutes to get an R rating. And then the uncensored one is what is left over. But yeah, so out there somewhere is a hardcore. It's still probably in some police vault. And apparently it has been distributed and it's hard to find. It's the hardcore sex scenes. And both gay and straight in quite the I would say a progressive decision by the producers.
Well, this whole movie actually felt really progressive to me in that regard. This does feel like this,
except for the constant raping of Dale.
Yeah. Sure, yeah, sure, sure. And that's
put fine. That aside, that and then yeah, everything yeah, else.
Just put that aside.
Like, but I mean, to me, like, I would actually compare it to like a sci-fi movie meets Monty Python, because it had a lot of the gags, like, had a very Monty Python-esque feel to me.
Yeah. Definitely, that's a good comparison.
I love it when the intro jerk off, and they say we were affected by a sex ray on the airplane, and everyone else, like, you know, that we crashed. Jerk off says, "Oh well, sometimes there's long term effects of a sex ray," and he let me examine Dale. He just grabs her boob and starts massaging it, and then continues to do so for the rest of the scene. Yes.
Like they're walking, and he's like, massage. Man, Jerkov killed me. Like I don't know what kind of accent he was trying to put on, but it was sometimes there. Sometimes
he was funny.
Again, the time travel parody of Topol from Flash Gordon's like 9 years later.
You know, I got to say the airplane scene at the beginning had for me the funniest line though. The whole thing was when the sex ray is going off and the pilots are still piloting, and the co-pilot says, "Captain, I got a huge boner here," and the captain goes, "Well, beat it down, Barry." Matter of factly, like, Jesus, that's just what you do when you're flying, asshole.
You took the same training I did.
Oh man, this was a movie for sure.
Oh man, yeah, I love this movie. This is truly one of my favorite movies that we've done so far on the show. I'll say that.
Yeah, you know, I think who knew that the last two movies of the year would be? I'm thinking again. I had a suspicion. I'm thinking this will score very well. So I mean, even before we saw them, but I'm thinking this will be scoring very well. Do we want to get into that now?
I think that sounds a fine idea.
Yeah, let's get the scoring. All right, in our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate every movie in five categories, none of which is objective quality. The first category we call schlock appeal, and as always, we start with Stan.
Oh, this movie has so much schlock, and I consider it. I mean, as you know, I love the movie. There's so many little things that keep adding up to make it wonderful, and I find the fact that it manages to walk a line between just good parody and, you know, kind of that X-rated feel. You know, it never crosses too far over into either one of them, which I think is really good. I'm going to go high. I'm going to go with a 9.
Yeah, you know what? I would agree with you in a 9, but that was in 1974.
The schlock hasn't aged?
Is there an expiration date on schlock?
It has all the qualifications for schlock back then. It was pointed out earlier in the podcast, this is grindhouse schlock. Now, to the modern Zen eyes, it is still way schlocky. So, you know what? In 2019, I can only give it an 8.
There is times when there is a fine line between schlocky and campy. And this knows it's campy, which probably hurts its overall schlock. But I'm going with an 8.
All right. Well, I'm going to bring it back up. I think that this thing's, I think everything from the costumes to the humor, to the insane makeup that they used on Wang, it brings it. I'm going to give it a 9.
All right. Don't beat it down, Jim. Don't beat it down.
All right. Next category is called More Heart Than Budget.
A $470,000 budget. And I know, when I went into this, I was thinking there's no chance that this is going to have more heart than budget because it's designed as an X-rated parody. Like, so how could that do it? And then I saw the stop motion animation and I saw all the great stuff that they managed to do and the fact that they made it really funny. So for me, I'm going high on this one too. 9.
I'm going to give out that rare 10 on the basis of, despite all the rape and question weird stuff going on, everybody wanted to be there.
In fact, more people wanted to be there. Greg T. Nelson.
Passion project. Everybody's all in on this one.
I never thought I'd hear the line, despite all the rape. I just can't get over
what's that. Worse is that's not the first time we've said that.
And it won't be the last.
Yeah. I mean, Revenge of the Nerds, we had to have some talks like that too.
Okay. Well, it was just one rape there. Well, maybe there was also what else kind of
that was I would view that as a worse rape, but you know, that's just me.
It is a worse rape, I'll give you that. So what the hell were we saying? what are we doing? I can't remember.
More hearts than budget.
More hearts than budget. Okay, so if they had just made this without the nudity, it would be a 10. But when they decide they're not confident enough in the movie, they're like, let's just throw in some nakedness, though, to get an audience. That brings it down to me. So I'll go with an 8.
The same, but it doesn't bring it down as much. 9. Okay, the next category, and clear your calendar, WTF moments.
Gentlemen, we are in big trouble. yeah, it's true. There's a lot of great WTF moments. Early in the film, Jerkov mentions that when he's showing off the penis rocket, and he's just like, oh yeah, I got most of the rocket parts from the Sears catalog. It's like, what?
Product placement at its finest.
How does that happen? And then there's this brilliant moment where they've just left Earth and they've entered the Marana sphere and stuff just starts flying at the ship. And it's just, I don't know why they included the scene, but it's just so amazing to see all this crazy shit just flying at this penis ship. Very, very funny. There's a cheerleader scene as we get into the movie before Wang, and it's just like WANG. I don't remember the rest of it, but I just thought, man, what the hell is going on with seeing cheerleaders right smack in the middle?
Bottomless
of this.
Cheerleaders. It needs to be said. Yeah, bottomless
cheerleaders. Yeah, normally we're talking topless. No. This case, they had the tops on to spell Wang, but bottomless.
Bottomless. Some of the best looking women in the movie, actually.
and then another one of my favorite lines that we didn't bring up earlier was that a crazed Venus flytrap ate Wang's Wang. Like that's just awesome writing. And then besides, there's the rapist robots, which I had noted, but just there's this random moment where you have a huge conga line of naked people doing the bunny hop.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was any chance that was making it to me. Yeah, I knew it wasn't making it to Jim.
That was wonderful. I'm giving it a 10.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to point out any specific scenes just on the basis of there are so many. You can tell that somebody on set was just just there to insert, you know what would be fun? I mean, they could have inserted the football scene from Hots in here, and I wouldn't have really denied it.
Nope. It would have been perfectly good. Everything would have worked.
Yeah. I mean, after the first half of the movie, I wasn't looking for WTFs anymore because they were so prevalent. I love so much of what was going on. As far as the number, I'll give it a 9.
All right. Let's see. You mentioned the conga line. I don't think we've done proper justice, though, to the fact that they're on this space rocket on their way to porno. The sex ray hits them. They have a little mini orgy, jerk off, Flash and Dale. And then Dale grabs her shirt and begins to put it on. And the next time you cut to her, it's just not on anymore. No explanation. It's just like somebody on set went, "Hey, wait a second. We can have nudity, right? Keep it off."
It was like just warm in the studio that day.
But she was half clothed and they just threw it off. The whole scene with the lesbians, and we mentioned that they're okay with Prince Precious. And Flash, getting it on together, having sex, but the lesbians, Jerkoff looks at him when they find them and they're scared to death. Looks at Flash and goes, "They're dykes."
Yeah. Oh no. So true. And then when she's checking out their breasts and stuff like that, and it's like boing, boom, boom, boing, you know, great sound effects. Like,
the line, "What do you do with these nipples?" They're nice.
Something else, yeah. Like, it's definitely got a ton. That said, I think that more than WTFs were more things that they put in on purpose, jokes that worked, like that weren't WTF moments. The WTFs are ones that happened where it's like, why did you do that? Like almost most of these, I knew why they did it and they thought it would be funny. So I'm going to give it an 8.
All right. One of the things, there is a joke that I thought was hilarious. When they're in the ship, they get hit by the sex ray, and man, that's the centerpiece of this movie because we've mentioned it like 10 times.
Yep.
A trouble light goes off on the dash, and then they show the X outside of the ship, and the rays are hitting it, and the ray effect actually is really cool with the miniature of the ship, and then it comes back in, and there's a double trouble light going off. It's a warning light that says double trouble. But my favorite, and I'm so glad that it made it all the way to me, is that this is a 90-minute movie. And 67 minutes into it, they have a chapter break and intermission.
Oh, my Lord. Yes, the intermission.
Just amazing.
That is so bloody awesome. When that occurred, I actually stood up and cheered, you know?
Yeah, me too. That was just a sublime moment.
That was tremendous, actually.
All right. I'm going all the way to a 10 on this. Memorable moments, Stan.
Well, honestly, I mean, for me, that line about it was my mother, she was buried in it, that is one of the greats. And, you know, there's just so many little things in this, like the VW keychain and stuff like that. This movie, I absolutely know. I've already started describing it to people and just the humor of it. Because I know that it's X-rated, but damn, I want to show people this movie just because the humor is so good. So while I can't go all the way up to a 10, I'm going to go to an 8.
Wow. Yeah, this movie is memorable. I mean, it's such a quotable movie.
I've already told people to call me Your Ass Holiness, so...
Yeah, we didn't even mention that, but that's how his own army, like that's a WTF, his own army refers to him as all these things, and Your Ass Holiness was my favorite, and he doesn't take offense to that. It's like, he doesn't even acknowledge it. It's not even like a thank you, it's just like, that's what they call him.
Yep, Your Protuberance, Your Ass Holiness, I mean, these are great, great lines.
Oh, I was laughing when he said Your Ass Holiness, and he just completely went, "Yes, that's right," and just completely continued going on. I've laughed so hard.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's so much in there. The funniest one for me wasn't funny the first time I heard it, but due to repetition, had me on the floor by the end of the movie, which is "Get him my dildos." You know, the first time you go, yeah, the guards are called dildos. But by the end of the movie, he's just screaming, getting my dildos over and over. And I just die. I just die. Yeah, I suppose I have to put a number on this. I'm going to go with an 8 as well.
Okay, well, I mean, funny lines, memorable stop motion, penisauruses, 8. I don't know where else I can go with it. Like, it's memorable.
I think
it's
not quite iconic to the point where it's like it is perpetrated, you know, society, you know, like, so I can't go higher, but
no, because you can't show it to everybody. You know, no, that, but there are things that you could absolutely insinuate into a conversation and not tell somebody where you got it and get them to use it.
Yeah, I do love that Wang, the first time Wang says dildo, he tells one of his guys, "Stop shouting, you dildo."
So you just assume that that's like just that he called that guy a dildo.
That they are dildos. That's what they are.
Yes. That's what makes it great.
And they do that walk, dunk, 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 dunk. So great.
Yeah, this movie's going to stay with me more than Flash Gordon did. Yeah. I'm going to go with a 7 on this. Always a challenge with the WTFs versus the memorable. Final category is called Crazy Concept.
I mean, I know that it's taken from the serial, and hey, if it's a great parody of the serial, then I think that's awesome. I mean, I haven't seen the serial, so I can't speak to that. But I can say that there is nothing that isn't crazy about this movie. So I'm going to say 9.
Was the execution just crazy, or was the concept crazy? Oh,
the fact that they added the monster talking, like, you know.
And maybe though, the fact that you're having trouble judging is why you need to give it the score, whatever score you give it, right?
Yeah,
it the fact that you can't decide actually might hurt it for you.
I'm only going to go with the 6 because I don't think it was as crazy when they started as when they finished.
For me, I have a lot of trouble judging this one because it's like I have to put myself in 1971, where the idea of softcore pornography, or hardcore in this case, that turns up softcore because it all gets taken away from them. You know, parodies and flash, like, it seems crazy. And yet, on the other hand, I mean, let's face it, porn parodies is, I can't think of it as crazy. It just seems so obvious. So I've been 8s up until now. I'm gonna knock it down to a 6.
I think for me, I mean, putting it in the context of the time, it's a parody that's, you know, as you say, quite close to something that is over 30 years old and not readily available to people. So it's, you know, it's like making it's like how Superman Returns was a sequel to the Richard Donner cut that was never released. Like, it's referencing something that most people won't have seen.
Now, just to correct you on this, the serial would have been playing on television by this point. So
yeah, serials played regularly on television back then.
All right. I'm still going to go with an 8.
I'm going with an 8 is what you're saying.
I've already typed it into the octagon.
your argument means nothing, so thank you.
I appreciate the closing closing comments from the defense. The judges have spoken. All right, so that brings us to the end of the numbers, and we have, every season we have 6 secret modifiers. This is the last time we'll have these modifiers. Shed a tear. This movie has 3 of them. It does lose a point for what we call the rubber suit modifier, because I don't know what the hell's going on with Wang's face, but
It was kind of disgusting, wasn't it?
It's like he has paper mache on his face. Yeah. I don't know what that was supposed to be. It does gain a point for what we call space talk. Really, just even that speech of how Jerkoff says the ship works with the strontium pellets and the goblin. That alone was enough space talk to give it the bonus. Also a bonus for what we call Williamstown for having a proper score. From someone who has a lot of pedigree, this guy had worked as he's a composer on Beneath the Planet of the Apes, the 70s Lord of the Rings, Star Trek 4. It's actually quite a lot of interesting credits. Which
has he done a good film?
Yes. Masters of the Universe, 1987.
No, there you go.
I
love the fact that the score was like half like 1925 like silent movie score and like half 70s porno score. That's great.
All right, which brings us to a final score of an astounding 85.4 out of 100, making it the third highest film so far on our search for the ultimate B movie.
Wow.
Right behind, so Ninja 3 The Domination, 87.5, Frankenhooker, 85.5, and now Flesh Gordon.
I knew, I suspected we'd have a couple strong ones, but wow, that's something.
Well, it's an amazing movie, and it certainly, when we talk about Boogaloo and we talk about the things that we're looking for, it includes so much of those elements. So
well, and you know what, these last two films have kind of ended the season on a strong note, kind of an up and down season. For a while there, I was worried we weren't going to have any top 10 films, you know, and here we've ended off strong.
And I don't know that any of us actually pegged Flesh Gordon as the one that would have hit the top five, but yeah, it definitely did and deservedly so.
I was not expecting to enjoy this at all. So
yeah, I know, totally surprised. Like I say, so now how do you guys want to do this? Let us announce next year's movies. Who goes first?
Let's just do it in our usual cycle, I think.
Do we have to wait till next year?
Yes, 2020's movies. Wow, this is going to be all. It's going to take us a long time to get to that next season.
That's about how well long we. How it usually takes us to get a season from the time we choose. Let's just go around the horn. We'll just Stan, give us one.
Oh, okay, all right. I am going to go with. He's one of my favorites. I do love him. So I'm going to go with Captain America 2, Death Too Soon, starring Reb Brown.
Wait, there was a sequel?
Yes, there was. It's TV. It's TV. So, I mean, we won't have boobies. But it's, I believe it's like two episodes jammed together. But
if it's Captain America, you can't expect nudity. Thanks.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Wow. That's one. Are you give your other one?
No.
No, it's just one. We'll do a
second. We're going to do one at a time.
Okay. Yeah. Not snake.
All right. I'm going with. Well, what do you do when you make the biggest sci-fi special effects masterpiece ever to that point?
Did we mention that these all have to be sequels? Did we ever? Did we remember to say?
I think we said. Yeah, we said that.
Well, I mean, okay. Son of Boogaloo, season 6.
What do? You push out a sequel using stock footage and hastily put together stuff and padded out with cheap ass actors. I am going with Son of Kong.
I thought you were going with Kong and Kong as soon as you were giving that explanation, which will be interesting because, I mean, a lot of people love Son of Kong. I don't know how that... will be
Son
interesting.
Kong,
it's
still a cheap movie compared to...
Well, I mean, the first one was actually kind of a cheap movie, too. It just happened to have Willis O'Brien being brilliant.
I have never seen Son of Kong despite having... seen the original many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is going to be to judge on a Boogaloo scale will be fascinating. So interesting choice. So I'm going to give you a couple of the movies I almost picked. Okay? I almost went with Flesh Gordon 2, Revenge of the Cosmic Cheerleaders.
So did I.
I thought to myself, I'd prefer if somebody else picked the porno movie next year.
It's a weird approach.
Yeah, I don't want to be known as that guy every season. So I decided against it. Jason Goes to Hell was on the plate. A movie that's not technically a sequel, but it's called Titanic 2, and I thought I might be able to get away with it.
Freak, I love that movie. Oh, it's amazing.
I thought about it. I thought I could maybe do it, but I decided the judges wouldn't pull it off. The reason I wanted to do this season was to do a TV movie produced by Steve Martin called The Jerk 2, but I couldn't find it anywhere, and except for ordering it from DVD from Europe, which would have been cost a lot of money. So I'm going with a film that is this is a film that for many, many years, this cut went around the internet. So only hardcore fans of this series ever saw it. And even recently, it was released on Blu-ray, I think about 3 years ago. Finally, this cut to much fanfare for those fans. But even then, it's part of a box set that's extremely expensive. So still, you can't get it on video demand. It's rarely seen. It is somewhat of an anomaly. And the film itself, I've never seen this cut, but the original has a very strong Boogaloo element. So I'm curious to see how the producer's cut of Halloween 6 will fare.
Interesting.
Halloween 6, you say?
Intriguing. Producer's cut.
Will we be able to follow the story from missing the first five movies?
No, even if
I couldn't follow the story, and I have seen the first five.
Yeah.
How many have you seen the producer's cut?
I actually like Halloween 6.
Well, okay.
Hey, I like druids and shit.
Have any of you seen the producer's cut?
I have not. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not 100% sure I made it to Halloween 6. I mean, it's a long haul to make it.
It is, for sure.
Yeah, whatever one where the girl was in the clown costume. I think that's as far as I made it.
That would be 4 and 5.
Well, 5, really.
5. All right. Well, I think I'd be remiss if we didn't come to a season of sequels and I didn't go back to the movie that gave us our name. So I'm doing Break Into Electric Boogaloo.
Yay!
Fantastic choice. I can't believe I hadn't thought of that.
I am so glad because that was one of those ones that I was hoping somebody else would choose. Because I'm just like, oh man, I've got too many movies. But how can we not do Break Into, right?
What are some of the other ones, Jim? I know you were considering some other films.
Let's wait till we do the whole cycle, and then then we'll see how we roll out.
Whose turn is it?
Stan, do your.
All right. Well, that frees up my opportunity to add American Psycho 2 to our list. Mila Kunis, William Shatner. I mean, Boogaloo. Jammed like a movie that's jammed into the American Psycho universe on a on a thread. Awesome.
Nice. She's gonna be a strong contender for Saints of Boogaloo now.
Oh yeah,
their second appearance.
Yep.
All right, I am going with a movie I love with a passion. I'm going out on a limb here because I don't know how well you guys are going to respond to it. This movie has everything. It has kaiju monsters. It has stolen penises. It has resurrections. It has Taiwanese slut slang through the roof.
Is it the I'm Great going Rupert with 2?
Crank 2 High Voltage.
Wow. Newer.
Newer and big budget.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very big budget. Interesting. Okay, well, I'm going with one that is my second one here. Will have it's kind of the height of to a lot of people. I think they haven't seen it because the very thought of it offended them. Because Bruceploitation was already a thing, but I think this is the film that a lot of people point to. So I'm going with Game of Death 2.
Mm. Oh, wow, I've never seen that.
I
try and pick films instead of giving you guys films that I love and want you to see. I try and find films that none of us have seen, including myself.
I actually just watched it. So.
Oh wow!
Oh really?
Fresh in mind, but you didn't watch it with the Boogaloo lens.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, We should sell those, the Boogaloo lens.
The Boogaloo lens, yes.
Just mail order to $5.95 plus
shipping. If they're selling handle. That mask from that 3D movie on the on.
Oh, well, you've left me. This is like Sophie's Choice if, you know, Sophie was choosing between 3B movies that were sequels to other movies. I was hoping that out of my five that a couple more, that at least one would have been chosen. Okay, I'll be the guy since Jack didn't want to take the mantle here. I will put in Flesh Gordon Meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders, 1989. So nearly 20 years after the original.
That is gonna...
Oh, thank you for picking that.
So I got to say that because of everybody now, that I had a list of five going in. And this means that
what else was on your guys' list?
Well, four out of the five actually, for me, made it in because nice. because Jim chose two of my lists.
nice.
So the only
because
other...
of that are unbelievable. You know how big they
supposed to be made? Well, after watching Flesh Gordon, it immediately added the Cosmic Cheerleaders to my list just because I love Flesh Gordon so much. But and then the fifth movie that I was considering was another canon movie, Star Trek IV: The Quest for Peace.
Bold.
A big budget movie. I didn't know that was. I love that movie.
Yeah, I had a more mainstream outside one that almost made the cut, which is Smokey and the Bandit 3, which is the Smokey and the Bandit movie where Burt Reynolds was not available and they made it anyway.
Oh man, that one, that movie, it's pretty damn boogaloo, that's for sure.
And you did mean Superman, not Star Trek, as you said.
Oh, did I say?
Yeah,
Star Trek.
Sorry, I meant Superman, yes. Superman
Quest for... Oh, that's definitely... There now we're talking boogaloo. I'm
yes, sorry about that.
I think that was canon.
That was my bad.
I had two other Christmas movies. I had two Christmas movies that were actually close. And you may hear these pop up if we do another Christmas season. Jack Frost 2. There's a sequel to the Jack Frost Killer Snowman movie.
That would have been on my list as well. Yep.
Just like I shot on video. And also, a movie that I'm only made it halfway through at Christmas because I decided I want to save it for Boogaloo at some point. Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, where nearly a third of the film is just the first film. It's just like he's sitting talking to a doctor, to a psychiatrist, and replays the events of the first film for like a goodly chunk of the runtime of the second film.
So I remember being watching Channel 7 back in the day when they were showing Silent Night, Deadly Night, and I watched it and my mouth agape, and then they said coming up next, Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, and thinking, okay, I'll give this a few minutes, and a half hour in going, I've seen this, guys.
I just watched this.
I'm lucky I didn't spend money renting this.
So that's what almost made my list. Nick, did you have any that almost made it?
I really wanted to stick in A Better Tomorrow too. Chow Yun-fat.
What is that? John Woo.
It's a cop movie from China.
Oh,
it's
okay.
John Woo at his best.
Yeah.
But it features some absolutely absolutely bizarre. By the way, this guy had a twin brother scene.
yeah, because Chow Yun-fat dies in the first one, and then they made two more movies.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is that does that wrap up our Son of Boogaloo season movies?
Yeah, I think so.
Excellent. All right.
It's going to be fun.
Oh, yes. I am already looking forward to it.
Now that I've heard the movies, now we can decide on modifiers, and that ain't going to be easy.
No, for sure. Well, to be honest with you, I wanted to figure out the modifiers before we found out the movies. Because that way, there's no doubt that none of us have a real clue. But but it doesn't matter. All right. Well, we have wrapped up a successful season five, Astro Nuts, and I am happy to be ready to move into season six, Son of Boogaloo. But Jim, tell the folks where to find us on the internets.
Oh, yeah. All right. We are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And for the rest of the internet, you should go to our podcast sponsors. We Talk Podcasts. They have a Facebook page. They have a Twitter. And WeTalkPodcast.com is the home of the Octagon, the chart that keeps a running track of our search for the ultimate B-movie.
All right. Well, I've had a great time. We like you said, Jack, we had some ups and downs in this season, but it's still it finished high, which is more than I can say for some of our seasons. and ultimately it wound up being a great, great fun.
And what is the viewing order for next season going to be in the order we announced there, or will we
No, I think we'll just figure that out as we go. Let's not bother announcing that right.
Put that on our Jim. Put that on Jim's list.
Yes. Yeah, I do kind of feel like I want to get into Flesh Gordon earlier because it'll be fresh.
Yes.
In our minds.
Yes, let's massage that as we go because sometimes putting two, because this season just wound up being each of our two in consecutive order. So I don't know. Did that throw us off a little bit? Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. But anyways, for Jack, for Jim, and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. Thanks for listening to season 5. Astronauts of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.